Hi, Crime Junkies. I'm Ashley Flowers, but I'm not your host.
And I'm Britt, and I'm your host.
So, Britt, what story do you have for us Crime Junkies today?
I am going to tell you about a girl named Marie Robards.
All right, then, let's jump in.
Okay, so Marie Robards was pretty much your average 16-year-old girl in Fort Worth, Texas. She was originally from Granbury, but she had a falling out with her mother and stepfather, and she was sent to live with her father, Stephen, in Fort Worth. She never really had any memory of her parents being together. They actually separated when she was around two, and her mom, Beth, remarried her husband, Frank, by the time Marie was four. So she really grew up with Frank as her dad. She even called him dad. Marie really only spent a day or two a month with her dad growing up, but there was never any animosity in between them. Stephen had battled depression for a little over a decade and wasn't always in a stable enough position in his own life to really feel like he could contribute positively to Marie's. He spent as much time with her as he could, and when it was decided that she would come live with him, he was absolutely elated. It was 1992. He had finally gotten his depression in a manageable place, got a steady job for the first time in a while, and he had even started dating again. He only had a one-bedroom apartment, but he had set up a cot in a little secluded place for Marie to settle into as they waited for a bigger apartment to open up. There were definitely some ups and downs on Marie's side. Her dad was a serial bachelor, so his apartment was pretty much a bachelor pad. Kind of messy. He didn't cook very well.
Lots of paper plates, I imagine.
Oh, I'm sure. And for the first couple of weeks, Marie was just so homesick. She begged to go back with her mother. The disagreement that she had had with her mother was actually about her stepfather, Frank. Evidently, Marie had walked in on Frank and another woman. And even though she pleaded with her mother, Beth, to leave him, Beth insisted that she loved Frank and wasn't going to leave. And this is kind of the devastating part. Frank had made a rule. He had a son from a previous relationship, and he wanted both his son and Marie to be treated equally by both him and Beth, which in a blended family, I feel like totally makes sense. You want the rules to apply for both sides.
Yeah.
And one of the rules that he made was that if either child moved out to live with another parent, they couldn't come back.
Did he make this rule before or just like after she left?
He did make this rule before. And the reason for his rule, I think, again, is from a really pure place. He didn't want either of the kids to try to play the parents off of each other. So hopping back and forth, you know, trying to get on one's good graces when they were in the other's bad graces.
Yeah.
He wanted to make it really equal. Either you're here or you're not, and you can't pit your parents against each other.
Totally. Okay, I get that.
And he only felt that was fair. So just like everyone assumed, Marie settled down in Fort Worth and started doing really well in school, really well adjusting to the move. But all of that was upended when on February 17th in 1993, just a couple of months after she moved in, Stephen came home from an evening church service because he wasn't feeling well. The family had takeout Mexican food for dinner before he had left, and he was kind of complaining of a stomach ache, which takeout Mexican food can do that to you.
Yes, but yum, still.
No, totally still ordering it.
I don't take it back.
But the stomach had gotten bad enough that he actually left church early and came home. As the night escalated, he got bad enough that paramedics were called.
Whoa.
He was vomiting uncontrollably. He was kind of staring off into a distance. There were even some reports that he was foaming at the mouth. And by the time that the paramedics had arrived, he had actually died of an apparent heart attack.
What? Like his, like whatever had happened, food poisoning or whatever it was like so hard on his body that he had a heart attack?
Yeah. So obviously this is devastating for Marie. She doesn't know what to do. She had called her father's girlfriend. She had come over. But again, like by the time 911 and the girlfriend had got there, there was nothing they could do. So Marie calls Beth and Frank and they come pick her up. Rules aside, Marie needs her parents by her side.
Yeah.
So she moves back to Granbury.
Like, there has to be an exception to every rule, and I feel like if the parent you go to live with dies, this is the exception, you can come back.
Right. But the thing is, she finds out that Frank is still cheating. And just like before, her mom, Beth, refuses to leave, is going to love Frank through it. And so Marie makes a decision that she's going to move out again. And this time she's going to go to her dad's parents' house, her paternal grandparents in Mansfield, Texas. She started school as a senior in high school in Mansfield and, again, quickly acclimated to student life at a new high school. And she met a girl who would become her best friend, Stacy, and the two became completely inseparable. Stacy also had come from a broken home. Her father, she never saw, lived several states away, and the two were able to bond over their home lives and soon became partners in crime. They were writing partners in yearbook and English, but they also would go to country western bars with their fake IDs.
Love it.
But Stacy had no idea what being a partner in crime with Marie really meant until one night they were studying Hamlet, when Stacy read what she thought was a particular moving line from Act 3 when Claudius says, "My fault is past, but oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder. That cannot me, since I am still possessed, of those effect for which I did the murder." And I personally am not super familiar with Hamlet at all. Ashley, are you?
Barely, like hardly at all.
Like high school English familiar.
AKA Spark Notes.
I read up on this because, again, not super familiar. And in this passage, Claudius was actually lamenting that he could never repent or be forgiven for the poisoning of his brother that he did to obtain his place as a reigning monarch. And when Stacy read that line, she looked up to find her best friend Marie pale as a ghost and trembling.
What?
Stacy asked, "Are you okay?" And Marie couldn't answer. She said, this is so typical high school girl, "Are you pregnant?" And Marie goes, "No."
What's the worst thing that could happen to you in high school? Are you pregnant?
Right. And so Stacy keeps questioning her. And finally, Marie says, "I killed my father."
Wait, she just like drops that bomb?
Yes. Months before, while living with her father, she had missed her mother so much and truly wanted to be back with her. Like I said earlier, she pled and pled with her mom and could never get through. So one day, while at school, she stole a vial of barium acetate from her high school chemistry lab and spooned some into her father Stephen's refried beans the night he died.
Wait, I'm sorry. I did not realize that there was stuff in my high school chemistry class that could kill people.
Yeah. And evidently this bottle was like super typical poison looking. Skull and crossbones.
Shut up, really?
Said, "Do not like ingest," the whole nine yards. She stole it, she put it in her father's refried beans, and killed him.
Was she trying to kill him, or was she trying to just get him sick enough that she could go home? Did she know what she was doing?
She claims that she just wanted him to be sick enough to go home. But obviously, she put so much barium acetate in that it killed him within hours.
Holy cow.
And the chemical wasn't detected in Stephen's autopsy because it wasn't specifically tested for. There was no real reason to run that sort of test, and the test was only available on a very expensive machine that the county didn't have.
That is crazy.
So even though she swore to Marie she wouldn't tell a soul, Stacy immediately went home and told her mother that same night. And here's something that I think is pretty ridiculous. There's two things. First, Stacy's mom is a nurse, and she actually didn't believe Marie's story.
Well, it sounds crazy.
Well, yeah, and she thought maybe, you know, Marie had wanted to leave, and then her dad died and she got to. Maybe she was just blaming herself and kind of made up this crazy story so she could really, really blame herself, you know?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. But, I mean, literally anything more makes sense than her poisoning her father for really no other reason than she didn't want to stay there.
Right. So again, Stacy's mom isn't buying it. So she calls a poison control line. And the poison control line confirms that pretty much even a small dose of barium acetate would definitely kill a man and could for sure mimic a heart attack. And here's the third surprise ridiculous thing.
Wait, hang on. So it's not like he was poisoned and had a heart attack. He never had a heart attack at all. It was just this poison.
Never had a heart attack at all.
Oh, okay.
She decided that she was going to stay true to her word to Stacy. She was going to be a good mom and keep her daughter's trust.
Wait, what?
She didn't tell anyone.
Wait, why?
In interviews, she states that she made the decision to let Stacy be the grown-up and make Stacy realize the gravity of the information she had and go to the police herself.
Stacy is not a grown-up. Stacy is a high school student who is a teenager.
Right.
Who is this woman?
So days go by, and then weeks, and then months. And this entire time, Stacy is racked with grief and a sense of betrayal for her friend. But after weeks of nightmares surrounding what Marie had told her, Stacy finally went to authorities who initially also didn't believe her.
Wait, what?
I know. So she's insistent. They have her talk to psychologists and they finally decide, okay, we're going to go to the samples that were collected at his autopsy and just go ahead and test the blood. And in October of 1994, when Stacy was a freshman at Sam Houston State University and Marie was a freshman at the University of Texas in Austin, detectives called Stacy to let her know that Stephen Robard's blood had contained 250 times the normal amount of barium acetate. And they were moving in to arrest Marie.
Well, and was Stacy like, yeah, I know, I told you.
Yeah, and honestly, in the article that I read, her supposed like immediate action after getting this call was, in my opinion, perfect. They said she was so panicked and so, you know, like just so full of adrenaline at this news that she hopped out of bed in her dorm room, ran down the hall to the vending machines, and immediately ate 5 Snicker bars.
That's like a really weird reaction to have.
So Marie was eventually arrested, and when she was asked why she poisoned her father, she said she didn't mean to kill him, only to make him sick, so she had to go back to live with her mother. She even testified to that effect in her trials, but the jury took something the prosecutor said to heart. It would take more than just a stomachache to get Marie back to her mother, and she knew that.
Oh my God.
Even though the defense asked for leniency and probation only, Marie was charged, convicted, and sentenced to 28 years in prison. However, she was released on parole after only 8 years in 2003.
Was it because she was a minor at the time? Was she charged as a minor?
She was not charged as a minor. She was 16 or 17 when she committed the crime and 19 when she was convicted. But they did charge her as an adult and sentenced her to 28 years. But she's been living since 2008 as a free woman under an assumed name.
Did they ever say what her mom thought of all of this? Like, I would be terrified of my teenager in my house who, like, the second I'm making them do something they don't want to do or be somewhere they don't want to be, like, they're just going to snag some barium acid from or whatever from their chemistry lab and kill me?
Her mom stood by her entire trial. There's even pictures of them coming and going to court together. And I mean, you have to imagine that she and Frank felt at least a little bit guilty not letting her come back right away. And that could have prevented the entire thing.
I mean, not really. I mean, yeah, so it would have prevented that. But like, clearly something is messed up. Like, that's not a normal reaction to have just because you don't get to live where you want to live. Like, I would be a little scared of her.
I completely agree. But that's where we are.
Wow. And so she's just like out there, like probably with kids of her own.
Probably with a family of her own, living somewhere with a job she likes. And no one knows.
Totally creepy.
Thank you.
Crime Junkie is an Audio Chuck production. What do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?